From how to restrict vaping at the city to creating a 24/7 rape crisis center, Heather Ross has some big issues on her plate. The nurse practitioner and ASU professor has been asked by Phoenix Mayor Kate Gallego to tackle health policy issues for the city as a policy fellow. I sat down with her in our studios recently to talk more about her work and why it's important to her to do more than taking care of patients, but to be a policy advocate as well.
Well, policy touches everything, including practice, and practice touches policy. So, you know, I'm a professor of health policy and technology policy, and one of the things that I tell my students, I am biased to action. Mm-hmm. I'm biased to evidence, and I'm biased to action. And so I always encourage my students to be engaging with the community. And, you know, one of the things that we have in our charter at ASU is this fundamental responsibility to serve the communities that we're in. And I take that very, very seriously. And some people may think that's Pollyanna-ish, but I really take it seriously, and I really try to embed that that drive in my students. And also, we're creating opportunities for our students to be directly engaged with policymakers and policy doers at the municipal level. It's awesome.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the issues you're helping the city with here in terms of health policy. First, you are a nurse practitioner. There is a nurse shortage here mm-hmm. and across the country. What can be done at the city level about this?
Well, one of the things that we're looking at the city level is understanding what are our needs in the city of Phoenix for nursing workforce today, 10 years from now, 50 years from now. And we're looking at all of the educational programs for nursing around the city and in the region and trying to understand, are we creating the pipeline for the workforce that we need for the future? You know, one of the challenges that we have in nursing is that we've got a lot of wonderful nursing educators who are retiring. We refer to it as a gray tsunami. Mm-hmm. And so we're already in a situation where we've got qualified students on waiting lists, can't get into basic nursing programs at the community college level and at the university level because we just don't have enough faculty practicing today as faculty. So not only looking at making sure we're recruiting enough people into the profession of nursing, that I am deeply biased to the profession of nursing, I think it's a wonderful place to live and practice, but also recruiting nurses into education.
I understand you're also helping the city establish some policies around behavioral health mm-hmm. and law enforcement. So this is working with the Phoenix Police Department then, I'm assuming.
Absolutely.
And looking at how they respond to those who might be in crisis. This
yes.
has obviously been a story and something that the Phoenix Police has been tackling since the Michelle Cousseau case a few mm-hmm. years ago. How far have they gotten? Where does it stand?
The Phoenix Police Department is doing amazing work, and we've seen statements just in the last couple of weeks from Chief Williams, who's doing an incredible job of bringing the priority of taking care of our population from a behavioral health perspective, both in terms of thinking about people who are experiencing behavioral crisis on the worst day of their life and the rest of the community around them who's being impacted by their crisis. Mm-hmm. So every one of our Phoenix police officers goes through mental health first aid training now, which is amazing. We have an incredible, in the Phoenix Police Department, the CIT, the Crisis Intervention Team squad, that is totally dedicated to serving people who are experiencing behavioral health crisis. Those are wonderful programs, and they're doing amazing work. And there's still more to do. So we're thinking about ways that we can bring mental health and behavioral health education to workers across all of the city departments, and how can we better integrate all of our first responder services so that we're really getting to the concerns of the behavioral health community. The problem is not that our first responders aren't getting them into emergency care. They're actually doing that really well. It's that people aren't getting connected to the long-term care that they need for their behavioral illnesses. And so they're popping back out into the first responder system. And we are trying to figure out, how can we at the city create systems that will help to solve some of those problems upstream.
At the city level, are you working, can you work with providers? Can you work with some of the, I mean, like one of the issues is that there's just not enough beds, right? There's not enough places for these people to get long-term treatment.
Well, that's right. So Arizona is ranked very low in terms of access to mental health care. Now, that's not something that the city can impact in a direct way. We don't have a health department in the city of Phoenix like many other large cities across America do. Mm. So we have to look at what can we do. One of the things, and you asked about providers, one of the things that has been a priority for Chief Williams and for Mayor Gallego is investigating how can we use what we call a co-responder model, meaning that a behavioral health professional responds to an incident in the community at the same time in concert with a police officer. Right now, as we speak, there are three different pilot programs that the city of Phoenix is running and innovating. We're testing out these three different ways of doing co-response for behavioral health so that we can figure out what's going to work best for Phoenix.
Vaping, I know, is becoming a big issue in the country. We're talking about it a lot in the news, especially with the rise of vaping among young people. We've seen several Valley cities now take on vaping ordinances, vaping bans. Is this something Phoenix is considering?
Phoenix is absolutely considering a vaping ordinance.
As a healthcare professional, what would that accomplish? How would that sort of help tackle the issue?
One of the things that we know is that smoking behaviors start early. They start in the teenage years. And oftentimes, it's just proximity to vaping devices, to cigarettes, to all of those various nicotine delivery products. And so the less that it's available, the less likely kids are to start vaping, and we can kind of cut it off early rather than having adults in the really challenging situation of trying to quit smoking. It's not easy, and we know that. So the better we can do up front to prevent that behavior from starting, the better we can do long haul and prevent some of the long-term illnesses, some of the lung diseases and heart diseases that are top killers in our society.
Last issue I want to touch on before we let you go is about this effort to create a 24/7 rape crisis center at the city level. What difference would that make for victims, for survivors? This is for somebody right after they are reporting an incident like this?
Well, right after they're reporting, what we know is that people who experience assault, who experience rape, have a really unthinkable journey to go through. And some people don't report their assault immediately. Maybe they experienced rape on a Saturday night, and maybe they aren't ready to reach out to somebody about that until Wednesday at 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. Now, if that happens to somebody, right now their options are pretty limited. I mean, they can go to emergency departments, sure. There are some city resources that can be opened up after hours. But when we're talking about an after hours situation like that, they don't necessarily have the social work and all of the variety of wraparound counseling and therapy services that we know that experiencing rape is not just about doing that forensic exam and getting the evidence into hands of police detectives who can go find the person who did the crime. Mm-hmm. That's important, don't get me wrong, but we want to make sure that we're taking care of the whole person, no matter what day of the week or time of the day that person needs care.
All right. That is Heather Ross, clinical assistant professor in the Edson College of Nursing and Health Innovation and the School for the Future of Innovation in Society at ASU, and a policy fellow with the City of Phoenix. Heather, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much.